This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 258 of Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them. This episode, as always, is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services, and we are recording live from the 2019 WIPSCOM conference, and we're currently here in the vendor hall at the Kalahari, which I've never been here before, and it's pretty awesome. I'm going to have to bring my family back here, but I need to thank the board and everyone from WIPSCOM for having the podcast here, as well as choosing me as being their closing speaker. I'm going to be doing that tomorrow in the morning, and I'm looking forward to that as well. So thank you all very much for that. And my guest today is Chris, and she's a dispatcher with Adams County Sheriff's Office. How's it going?
Good.
All right. Excellent. So have you been here since the beginning of the conference then?
Yes, I have.
Awesome. So what are some of the things that that you've experienced here, you know, speakers or sessions or such that have really just kind of caught your eye and is something that you're going to bring back to your sheriff's office?
Oh, God, there's a lot. You know, I work with a really good team. Mm-hmm. You know, we're pretty conscious about what we do and stuff like that, but you know, there are times where we all do get complacent and, you know, you get the same calls, the same callers, the same thing, but you miss, you know, it's so easy to miss what that third call is going to be.
Right.
You think it's going to be the same thing, but then it turns out to be something different. I think that's very important to always keep your ears.
Of course. Yeah. You know, keeping, you know, just staying alert throughout the whole time, you know, because it's that one time that that's the call that.
Right. And the personalities, you know, you got a comm center of 9 people, mm-hmm. and each of us come with different experiences. Some of us have been 30-year veterans, some are 20 and above, but we have new people, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, you see the personalities and you got to try to be, you know, together become one, mm-hmm. as a team.
Right.
And sometimes you see team members going one way, team members going another way. And it's very important, I feel, that we all work as a team. That way we get the job done right. Because people's lives are in their hands.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I put it in my perspective, as if it was my family member, I would want something to happen, you know, to a dispatcher to be kind of empathetic, not snotty, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of coach me through something that's tragic to get me through this.
Right. No, I know exactly what you mean. And especially if you're, you know, you're working with a team that I don't like to say that you might not get along with fully, but you know, there's always going to be, you know, people that are a little more difficult, you know, in the job and stuff. But what I always found, what I always loved was, even if we had others that, you know, didn't do the same thing the way we all did it or whatever, or were slightly difficult in any way, when the shit would hit the fan, we were working like a well-oiled machine.
Yep.
We still were in there and working and doing what we have to do, because like you said, you know, their lives are on the line and we're doing it that way. Now, how many years have you been working then in dispatch?
34.
Damn. Well done. Very nice.
And I was a police officer for a while, but I went from dispatch to police officer, back to dispatch again. It was something that I found it was just my passion. Mm-hmm.
How did you get started to begin with? Did you have family in public safety, or did you jump in green?
I grew up with people in my neighborhood, mm-hmm. that were law enforcement, and I always respected that. Actually, it was in college in Green Bay. I went to University of Green Bay, and I kind of got stranded on the side of the road. And a police officer came and helped me. And I was pretty down on my luck being a college student, didn't have no money, didn't have nothing. He came by and left something in his car, and he came by to my university and dropped it off. I left something, and we got into talking, and next thing I know, here I am calling my mom and dad saying, I want to be a cop. And I want to come home, and I want to be in law enforcement. And that's what I did. There was a 911 dispatcher opening for Sturtevant, Village Sturtevant in Wisconsin. And I applied for it. 19 years old. I got it.
Wow.
Yes. And ever since then, I never looked back.
See, and so, yeah, when people talk about public safety, whether it be dispatch, police, fire, EMS, whichever, there's always something that has happened to them where they catch that bug and they stick with it then.
I did.
And yours, it sounds like it started out with that conversation.
That conversation with that police officer from Green Bay, it was a life-changing situation for me. And it was, I have great parents that, you know, stuck with me and said, yep, do what you want to do. I did it. I seen a lot. I did a lot. My main goal now in my later years is to help other dispatchers through traumatic, post-traumatic stress.
Right.
I have it. I've been diagnosed. I went and got help. And that's now my goal in life is to help others get through tragic. Because we are the first responders and no one ever looks at us to be the ones that hear that gunshot, ones that hear that scream, you know, and then you have to sit and try to go home.
Right.
Deal with it. Really? I come from old school. And as a matter of fact, I found out one of my officers had killed himself back in my first training officer. And I didn't know that. I did not know that. And I sat there going, there's got to be a need to help.
Right.
And it's scary. It's sad.
So you started out on the road first. How many years did you do that before you switched?
3 years.
3 years. So what was it when you switched over? No, why did you switch over to begin with? Did you do a sit-along or something?
How did that work out? I was dispatched, and then I decided I wanted to be a police officer. So I went to school to become one, went to the police academy. I got hired for a department, and I worked there. But I was young. I was 22, 23, and I decided that the things that I seen, the things that I went through, was just too hard. And back in those days, it was suck it up. There's no crying as a police officer. You're just going to have to deal with it. It took me 10 years to suppress it. And then all of a sudden it comes out. And it's like, how do I deal with it?
Right.
And it took a conference back in 2006 or something, where a speaker out of all these people picked me out and said, hey, we need to talk. And ever since that, I never looked.
Wow. So then you're working in dispatch. What was that like for you in the beginning then? Had you had any experience at all?
Nope.
No, just listening scared. To it because.
Okay. I was scared. Oh my God. But it took veteran officers that said, you can do it.
Right.
You can do whatever you want. It's common sense. Think. All you got to do.
That's true. You know, that's funny that you say that because I tell people that a form of that all the time. You know, they would say, so what all do you really need to be, you know, a dispatcher? And I would tell them, it's a combination of common sense and being human.
Yep.
If you can do that.
Yep.
You've got this.
Yeah, you need compassion, but yet you need to be, you need to have a personality where it's like, get the job done.
Right.
Talk to the people, help them through whatever it is that you need to help them through and go and, you know, get them the help they need.
What was the training like for you in the beginning then?
I had 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks. You write everything on a log.
Yeah.
That's it. I had 2 weeks training.
Wow.
Yep. And then when I became a road officer, I had 3 weeks training. You're on your own.
Jeez.
And then when I moved up to Adams County, since I was already a dispatcher, I had 3 weeks training. And that was it. Now it's an 8-10 week program,
right,
you know, for the new people, but I've been experienced. So, yeah.
And everything is just on the job training. Yeah. So, yeah, that's so when I started out my dispatching career, I'm originally from Southwest Michigan. But I ended up going to visit my family in Florida. It was only supposed to be like a week or two, and it turned out to be 3.5 years. But that's where I started out my dispatching career. And I remember when I walked in that first night, I watched my trainer take a call, and he turns around and looks at me. And he says, "Okay, now it's your turn." And I remember laughing and saying, "No, are you serious?" And he goes, "No, I'm serious."
Yeah,
because there's no other way you're going to learn. They did eventually send me off to a 40-hour beginner's dispatcher's course.
Yeah,
but other than that, that's what it was.
Mine was a lady who was in her late mid-60s, mm-hmm, and just write it down, go from there. Never told me what to do when there was an apartment fire.
Right.
I figured it. You learn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, you get those even harder calls. You know, you get domestic calls with weapons, you get suicidal calls. And then, you know, how do you even, there's no way really to prepare for that. You can take as many classes as you want on how to talk to people, but when it happens, you're in there.
Yeah. A lot of times when it's a stress call, and, you know, you got to kind of get control of the caller. I just take a deep breath, get my calming down.
Right.
And, you know, talk in a voice to keep them calm. And it really does work.
Yep.
It really does work. And, you know, I've been through a lot. Nightmares still happen. I can tell you that right now. But you just learn. You learn from your mistakes.
Right.
You learn from the good things and you keep forward with it. But I'm not perfect. I made mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, we all do.
Of course. I mean, we don't learn from it. If we were awesome all the time, I mean, eventually you're going to learn the hard way.
Yeah. I'm proud of my 34 years. I really am. And there's three of us that all started at the same time. And we're still, even though we're in different agencies, mm-hmm, we're still doing this job.
That's amazing.
And to me, it's not a job. It's my life.
Right.
My daughter looks at it as her second family. I mean, that's how, you know, it's family. You know, as family, we stick together. As family, we get the job done.
For sure. Now, if you don't mind me asking, mm-hmm, and I know because this is a tough subject, but it seems to be coming out more and more since maybe around 2016. It's starting to come out more that there are more dispatchers that do suffer from PTSD. But now a lot of them are sharing their stories. They're getting it out there and it's helping people. And people are now feeling that they're not alone. So mm-hmm, for you, for your journey through all of this, what was it? And for lack of a better way to put it, what was the trigger point that really made you want to start helping people, to share your story? I mean, what are some of the things that you dealt with that leading into this journey?
I dealt with a call where a guy shot himself, mm-hmm, on the phone with me. And it was 2 minutes before my shift ended.
Oh, man.
And there was no help. They're like, call this number and they'll help you. Well, I called that number and it was for people who had alcohol problems. I don't drink alcohol, so I don't have alcohol problems. I couldn't find resources to help me at that time. There was none. I hear the scream. I hear the click of the gun. I hear his voice. To this day, I can go word for word at what he said. And I'm like, there's no help for me. So I reached out to people in 911 to say, where do I go? How do I get help? And because their help was take sleeping pills and it'll make it go away. I had a doctor that said, well, I can help you with sleeping pills. Maybe that'll help, you know. I said, I don't want sleeping pills. I wanted someone to help me through this.
Right.
I finally found it. And I had to travel 2.5 hours, but I found it. And I said, there's got to be better resources for dispatchers who are suffering. And they diagnosed me because of PTSD due to the fact that how many years I've had, what nightmares still happen to me, what I still see, things I've seen as a police officer, things I, you know, hear in dispatch, wondering, oh, it comes back. I'm sorry. We're human. We have a heart. We have a soul.
Of course.
And you try not to let it happen, but all right, I had the guy that shot himself. A week later, I had a lady shoot herself. Really? It was back to back. And then there was a time where I had 9 car accidents, 9 fatals every weekend. And so I was getting to the point where I was afraid to go to work.
Oh, man.
And it's documented. I mean, we made the paper. I'm like, really? This is not something to, you know, broadcast. Hello.
Right. Yeah.
But I didn't have no help. So now I wanted to help other people. There is no resources. Now there is.
Yes.
Now there is. And now there's forums, even on Facebook or emails or something that as a peer group, you'd say, hey, I'm having this trouble. How do I just help me through this? Someone to talk to?
Right, exactly.
Is probably what someone needs is just say, hey, I need this. Help me.
Yeah, and sometimes that's all it takes is throwing it out there, and you'd be surprised how many people will end up sharing. And I say that too because in a way, so the session that I do at different conferences is called Imagine Listening. And I give dispatchers the opportunity to share their I Am 911 stories. But I also tell them that if you can't say it out loud, if you don't feel comfortable enough doing that, write it down. Yep. And I will read it for you. And I will tell you, when I've said that, people will start writing, asking other people for a piece of paper or a pen. And there are story upon story after one another that will come up. And I will just be reading these stories. And it's been helping them. It's been doing amazing things. It's such a great session.
I reached out to my daughter's father-in-law, who's in North Carolina, and just started dispatching. And anyone in here, he wants to quit.
Man.
And I'm like, and Ashley's like, my daughter knows what I went through.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's not a job for everybody. You got to be that special person. My daughter was very understanding. I was a single mom. She knew the job. She knew the, you know, I've come home. I've been that dispatcher who screaming and yelling because nothing's done right. I was the one that nothing was picked up the way I needed to be picked up. But once I got the help I need, I realized it's not me. And I, ever since then, I've become a different person. Help other people. It's a job that I love. It really is.
That's amazing.
It's my heart.
Yeah,
and I take pride in my help. To help other people. I've been put on this earth for a reason. I figure after 34 years, now I know what it is.
I believe it fully. You know, as we go into the wrap up of this episode, I have to ask, and for those who are listening, for anyone who is dealing with any issues like this, any nightmares, any, you know, a fear of possibly going into work because of the amount of calls that they've been taking that are bad, what would your advice be on top of getting help, you know, seeking help? What are some of the things that you've done that have kind of helped you out to kind of get past that maybe anxiety, you know?
I walk. I do stuff like I take my music and I play AC/DC, just crank it up on my motorcycle.
Love that.
You've got to find another avenue to take time for yourself. Talk it out. Cry it out. Do whatever you need to do to get through it. And then when you're ready, someone will be there. Just find them. They're better resources than when I needed them. All you have to do is take a click and says PTSD dispatch. They'll be there for you. You Perfect. Can call them, text them, anything you want. Someone will be there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on this episode. This was great. Thank you.
All right.
For those who are listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us. That'll be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That is @911podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/Trenches Podcast. This episode, along with all the others, are supported by InDigital, Leader Next Gen Core Services. You can also listen to this episode and others 24/7 on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to WTTpodcast@gmail.com.